God is good. And all the time. It's something funny that happens when a baby is born. There are words spoken over them. There are prayers prayed for them. For a future life that they will live. Where we dream and we hope. And man, we pray diligently. That they will be of the Lord. That they will walk in such a way that is pleasing. And then some look at babies and they say, it's just a baby. They cry, they whine, they fuss, and man, they stink. If you've had a baby, you know what I mean. Yet, on Christmas Eve, he's not just a baby. He is the Son of God. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Let's pray before we get started. God, I thank you. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your kindness that can touch a sinner's heart and melt it. With grace and truth, you speak and you sent your Son Jesus as a baby, a rightful king, as a baby, humbled in a manger. Lord, today we give you all the praise and all the glory as we remember, as we adore, and as we worship our King, Jesus Christ, today. And in Jesus' name we said, amen. My Christmas gift to you is going to be a short sermon. You're welcome. You're welcome for that. Names have a powerful meaning in our lives. And I've mentioned this before, that whenever you pick a child's name, there's a lot of thought that goes into it. I remember when we were having Zoe, our firstborn, my brother's like, hey, you got to pick a name that you can yell. Like, make sure that you can yell it. Make sure you can, you know, yell the first name, the middle name, and throw in that last name for added emphasis. Like, if you're a parent, you know what I mean, because you're going to be saying those things a little bit too often. So we named our kids Zoe, and her name means life. And if you know the story of my daughter, I've told it whenever she was baptized, that the doctors told us that she was going to be missing part of her brain and that her life was going to be anything but, and it was going to be this wild, just roller coaster of a life, and here she is, full of life, undevoted to Jesus Christ. And then we named our son Crosby, who means dweller of the cross, because that's my prayer for him, that he will one day come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, as his mother and I have. And that is our prayer. And then here we see in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6, the names that were spoken over Jesus long before his arrival. And the verse goes, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been called any of them. But we get to worship the one true King that wears that banner proudly. That wears it to the point unto death for all of us. And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to have communion. And I know for some of us that's a little weird because it's the birth of Jesus, but we have to understand the birth of Jesus was for the mission for him to die, to be our forever atonement for the wickedness of our sin in our lives. So we turn to Jesus and we worship him when he was born as we consider this the Advent season, and this is the conclusion of it. I remember listening to a concert once, and my wife had this same poster above her door when we were dating, and it was the different names of God. Anybody remember seeing the names of God? And then at this concert, the guy was talking, he said, he was always confused, and he was like, why do you have these names? He was a kid, he was talking to his youth pastor, why do you have this poster with all these names? And then he said, because you need God at different points in your life that does different things. When was the last time you were marveled by a name of Jesus? When was the last time you were like so emotional at just the name of Jesus and the powerfulness that it comes with? Far too often we are very flippant with our words and our thoughts, that words don't have a lot of meaning. They don't carry a lot of weight. But here we see in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, it says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He is not just a baby. He is the Messiah. He is the long-awaited hope that we desperately need and we have. See, we live in this already but not yet kind of world where his arrival has happened and we celebrate it, but then we have the not yet with his second coming, where we rejoice at his coming. I like the way the Old Testament names were a commentary to one's character. So as they declare this in Isaiah, it's showcasing who this Messiah is going to be on earth. And I like the way J. Alec Mortner puts it in his commentary. He said, "God has come to birth, bringing with him the qualities which guarantee his people preservation with wisdom and liberation of a warrior strength. Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace describe the conditions of the King's birth that it will bring." Like, what a powerful scene we have. It's not just a manger with some stinky animals and a baby lying in it. It is a rightful king who left everything to showcase the glory of God and the characteristics that he brings for all of us. And the first name that is given is Wonderful Counselor. And this name means like a wonder of counsel, where he provides such wisdom that nobody could ever speak into. And you know that whenever God is using somebody around you to speak something into you that you never even thought of or could fathom, and God uses his counsel to do such, like the lady at the well, where Jesus is having an encounter and he tells her her life story of what she's done. And she's like, "How do you know this?" Because he's the Messiah. "For he is omniscient," meaning he knows everything. And here's the best part: he knows us personally. He knows all of us. He knows us to the point of which no one else knows. And I've said this and quoted this before: to be 99% known is to still be fully unknown. And God provides that 100% of availability of being fully known. He is omniscient. And he is omnipresent, meaning he is always present and always available. And when you need a counsel and you need someone to look upon to guide and direct, you want somebody that's always there and available. And the last thing is, he's omnipotent, meaning that he can carry all your problems. Remember what the verse says, that the government will be upon his shoulders. So guess what? If he can carry the world, he can carry your burdens. So rest upon him today as this baby is not just a baby, but a wonderful counselor. Jesus, our wonderful counselor, knows everything, is always present, and is powerful enough to handle, fix, and heal every broken heart, every scary moment, and every painful situation in our lives. So it is right and good to follow him and worship him this day. The second name that is given is Mighty God. Our God is a mighty God. And just the name of that should bring us to worship, knowing that no matter what we face, he has our back. No matter what we're going through, he is there for us. He is beyond power. That he controls the world in his hands, and he will destroy the gates of Hades at his coming. And that should bring us to a position of complete worship and surrender as we go through life, as we face anxieties and stress and worry. The perfect one has come, and he is a mighty, mighty God. Because Jesus is our mighty God, we should be quick to trust, worship, and serve him as King. and he is worthy of all those things. The third name that is given to him is Everlasting Father. In Hebrew, this phrase literally means the Father of Eternity. If you remember, Jesus was at the beginning. He was the one that created things, all things. And then he left his throne to be with his creation, to show them, to show us what is right and what is good and what will put us in a worthy walk and manner to be called his son, to be called his daughter, to bury or to carry the mantle of what it means to be a Christian. Because he is an everlasting father. It speaks to the purpose of his coming. You see, we were all alienated and hostile by nature, by our natural sin inside of us that eats us alive, and because we're constantly longing and desperately looking and searching for things, and Jesus came and fulfilled that thirst. He came and fulfilled that longing, and he is our everlasting Father. And like a good and right Father, he cares for us. He displayed that all throughout his life, where he was a servant, where he was one that would get on his hands and knees and wash his disciples' feet because he cared about humanity to the point unto death. God with us, our everlasting Father with us. Because Jesus acts towards us as an everlasting Father, we will be safe and satisfied forever, without fear, without worry, trusting and obeying, to have an overwhelming joy upon our lives, to make it through each and every day because we have a future with him. The last name that is given is Prince of Peace. How many of you would you say you have peace in your life? That you have this overwhelming just peace regardless of what may? Well, as we rest in Jesus and we solely look upon him for his attributes and his characteristics and his nature to move first, to love first, to care first, to give first, to sacrifice first, what we then in return get is a peace that overcomes even the restless of souls to the point that we can just surrender as he did on the cross. If you're here today and you're like, man, this season has been messy, it's been crazy, it's been full of drama and trauma, I invite you to the feet of the manger to see and behold the Prince of Peace. The one that ushers in all that good tidings and glad-hearted because he brings in the calmness of life. And if you recall the Christmas story, there is nothing calm what is happening. I mean, just imagine Mary riding in on a donkey. Like, even some cars are bumpy as all get out. You're like, this is ridiculous. And she's on a donkey on a beaten, worn path road. What is peaceful about that? Imagine having your baby, like, outside in the barn with the critters and the bugs. Some of you guys can't even walk outside sometimes. And here this woman, by God's grace, was chosen to carry the King of the world. And he ushered in peace. Wholehearted peace. So I ask you today, is he just a baby to you? Is he just a baby that was born long ago, that brings in this season, that allows us to be, you know, put out the tinsel and deck the halls and have so much fun and go crazy over all the stuff that doesn't matter in life? Or is he your king and lord over your life? Is he just a baby? Because that baby walked on seas and he healed the hearts that he encountered and he established the righteousness that he imputed upon everyone that he encountered. Is he just a baby? I like the way Matt Chandler puts it. He says, God has seen our unlovingness, the deep brokenness and rebellion in our hearts. And instead of withdrawing, he pursues us to the beautiful end. He made an eternal commitment to sinners because of his great love for us. And because grace is true, you can face the world with all of its dangers and troubles, knowing that you have been established forever as blameless by the Holy Groom, Jesus Christ. He is not just a baby. He took a place in a manger so we could be in heaven with the Father. What an amazing baby. So on this Christmas Eve, we take communion. We understand the purpose. We understand the reason why. We understand that in this moment, yes, it's filled with celebration and awe, and it's filled with this just overcoming sense of everything's good, everything is right. We understand that this life of Jesus, that just a baby, would go ahead and come to earth and be pierced, be poked, be killed, be mocked, and humiliated. How many of us would say, that's what I want for my baby? I want them to grow up and to be virtually, publicly guilty by the crowd, knowing pure innocence exists in this heart. How many of you would declare that over your baby, that you want them to be beaten in life, that you want them to be to take on all the shame and guilt that we carry? How many would declare that over their baby? No, you look upon your baby and you say sweet nothings, because we know how powerful words can be. And here we have God so loving the world that he said, I'm going to send my son Jesus to die, to be your for atonement, to be the price that you could never pay because of the debt and the chaos and the havoc that we've created. He says, my son will be the propitiation of all of humanity's sin. And yes, we take communion on Christmas Eve, praising the name of Jesus Christ for not just being a baby, but being the king, being the warrior, being the one that came in and said, this is my kingdom and you don't understand it. You don't see it because you're full of legalists. You're full of people that just wants to go by your own book. You're lawless. And I understand you know the law, but you're not following it because you don't know the king. You don't know Jesus. We're living this life so recklessly. And here's the time that we get to worship him as a coming king who humbled himself in a manger, who lived absolutely perfectly so we could just follow him. Church, on Christmas Eve, we get the chance to follow the king who left everything. Who left everything, and we won't even leave our phones behind. And here he is, leaving his kingdom and making a personal encounter saying, I'm dying for you. Here's your chance to be born again. To see the great light that has come into the world. As a baby. Is that not mind-blowing? You got to understand the people, this long-awaited Messiah was supposed to be this mighty, mighty warrior. The one that would come in and just destroy. And he came as a baby. Understand the disappointment of the people. Understand the frustration. Whenever he grew up, and he wasn't what they thought, because he knelt down and sacrificed to the point of dying on a cross, that we celebrate by taking communion. The body broken, pierced, crucified for us, and his blood shed to cleanse us, to purify us, to take out all the garbage that we carry and leave it on the cross. Because 3 days later, he rose victoriously. So take and eat, trusting, following, knowing how good that baby is. God, I thank you for your life. That on this peaceful day, this really beautiful sunshiny day, we look back long ago to the almost ridiculousness of the story. That from the beginning, you knew us, you called us, you loved us, and we rebelled and rebelled and rebelled. To where you sent your angels to declare to Mary that she will, in fact, have a baby as a virgin. Soon to be wedded to a man who could have easily dismissed her in the night. And yet, you sent your son into her womb. And you called him Emmanuel. God with us. So we don't have to walk this life alone. So we don't have to carry the weight. As Isaiah declares, the government will be on his shoulders. For he is a wonderful counselor, a mighty, mighty God, an everlasting Father, and our true Prince of Peace. Lord, we give you the glory today. We give you the thanksgiving that is deserved, that is rightly due for making the first motion of love, for seeing us in our unlovableness and declaring, I still love you, and I will always love you. So God, today on this Christmas Eve, allow us to focus, allow us to turn our hearts to, allow us to be overcome with the name of Jesus. Lord, allow the tongues in this room to declare Jesus is Lord. God, I love you, and I thank you for loving me first. In Jesus' name, amen.